Well, it is a delight to be back with my brothers and sisters here at College Hill. And as we sing those psalms, we're mindful of God's wonderful provision. As we stop and would discuss the work of missions, we're always reminded of whose power God is building His church. It's by His power. And we're reminded of the greatness of God as we look at a portion of Isaiah chapter 40. I'm just going to read verses 9 to 11. "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young." A picture of our God. A picture of the God who is building His church around the world. And it is exciting to come to you this evening and to first extend thanks to God for the wonderful fruit that we're seeing around the world, but also to extend thanks to this congregation, its members, the friends of this congregation, who have proven such faithful prayer warriors over the decades and centuries of the work of the Foreign Mission Board. And for the ways in which your members, your pastors, your elders are having a shaping influence on many who are out on the field. And for the wonderful benefits our college is having in preparing those who would go forth and labor for Christ to see His name glorified and His church extended around the world. As was mentioned, RP Global Mission just had its board meetings this weekend. So you actually are the first to get to hear some of what is going on around the world. Some of the challenges that are before some of our mission efforts and some of the new opportunities that God is raising up before us. And so some of these things, because you're blessed to have former missionaries in your midst, you may have already heard and may have even more information than I have in the last 24 hours. But I thought I would go through field by field and give you just a few items to be thinking of and praying about. And certainly after our presentation or my presentation this evening, there are many more materials up front I would invite your attention to that you might find helpful. But I also will be around to answer questions that you may have in regards to any of these fields or other opportunities. So first I would start with our brothers and sisters in Cyprus. There is a lot to be thankful for as God is continuing to build His church in Cyprus. We're thankful for the new leadership that God has seen fit to raise up amongst the eldership and diaconate there at TCCF. But many of you, I'm sure, have been following the updates from Adam Mistris and the recent financial and economic turmoil in Cyprus. That's a pretty steep learning curve for new elders and new deacons. And new emerging needs are going to be coming forth in that nation. We don't know what the full implication will be of the actions that have been taken. And certainly we need to be remembering in prayer those who are laboring at TCCF, those that are laboring at the Greek Evangelical Church, as many needs are going to be confronting them. The TCCF group continues to have a good opportunity to minister to refugees, and so that is in and of itself another demand upon the congregation. Continue to be praying for them as they would seek to demonstrate the love of Christ to those that He has seen fit to bring across their path, that they might open His Word to them. Many of you know that in the coming months, they're looking forward to Zach Cale and his family going over and ministering in TCCF. And it's wonderful to see God's provision of someone as gifted as Zach to go and to labor there. But there are still hurdles that are before the Cale family, especially Zach getting his work permit. Zach is to be traveling over, I believe, this month to visit the office in Rhodes to see if the needed paperwork can be discovered, that work visa or work permit would be able to be put in his hands sooner and enable him to get over. But pray also for, again, the implication of the economic turmoil in Cyprus may have serious implications on the congregation's abilities. So we need to be praying that God would demonstrate, as He has in the history of many other churches and many other mission endeavors, that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And we've already seen the Lord extend His hand and preserve the ministries of the academies by not including their bank accounts in those that were being delved into by the officials. And we have seen the church spared that kind of a money grab as well. So we're thankful for how God demonstrates His power, but pray that He would continue to watch over that situation there in Cyprus. Japan is a place that we have served for many, many years. And we are excited as we look across that church and we see the evidence of God's covenant promises being realized in the children growing up in the church and remaining in the church. But with that comes another prayer concern for the churches in Japan, and that would be that God would continue to expand and extend His kingdom in that nation such that we would see a lot of these covenant children confronted by godly potential spouses, that more families might arise, that God's continued blessing might be seen upon those young people who have an aspiration to see godly families established. This weighs heavy on the hearts of many, including some of our pastors there. Pray that God would be raising up godly men and women to establish godly homes. Some of you may have heard that Charlie Leach has accepted the call to Kasumi Ga Oka and will be moving over to Japan later this year. This again is a wonderful answer to many prayers and demonstrates the diligence of the Kasumi Ga Oka congregation as they would wait upon Charlie for things in his life to settle such that he could go. We're thankful for the Leach family being willing to serve and pray that all of the needed things to put in order will be put in order in the coming months, that that transition will go well, and that the Kasumi Ga Oka congregation will be greatly blessed from his ministry among them. Of course, any time we lose a pastor here, we also want to be upholding the congregation that will find itself vacant. And so the Coldenham Newburg congregation, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers as they too would begin to look for a suitable under-shepherd to guide them. The presbytery would appreciate your prayers. As you may have heard from actions of synod last year and the work of the board, there's an effort over the next several years to see a step down in the financial support of the work in Japan such that the presbytery is able to stand on its own feet. And that's a scary proposition. That is a major undertaking for a small body. And there's a great deal of apprehension over this. And so we need to be praying that God would grant the presbytery wisdom as it takes over more and more of its budgeting responsibilities. You know, in years past, the board may have assigned certain items to certain line items, and that's not being done going forward, so that they get a sum of money and then they are taking on that responsibility, that ownership for meeting the needs that they better understand than we can here that exist within that presbytery and within its congregations. Pray that God would give them confidence in this undertaking, that He would demonstrate to them how they have been and are being equipped to take up more and more of that leadership, that they have the tools necessary to do so, and help to impress upon them that though a financial component may diminish, the ongoing love and concern and prayer of God's people worldwide does not evaporate. We continue to care for, have concern for, pray for the success of the gospel ministry in Japan. And so pray for those pastors. Pray for the congregations. Consider sending them notes of encouragement along the way that they would realize that we love them, we care for them, we are continuing to be interested in the work that they are doing. One of their great concerns is that after 10 years, will there be no more relationship? Well, how will we facilitate or create relationships amongst institutions, amongst our congregations, our presbyteries, such that they will feel truly a part of the RPCNA, a part of the worldwide RP church, and valued as such. Now, there are new opportunities that are before the churches in Japan. And it was one of our exciting things to hear about some of the vision that is being developed now in Japan for some church planting efforts on the north side of the mountains around Kobe. And so we need to be praying that God would be raising up laborers for that work, that God's Holy Spirit would be going before those who will be laboring in this new field to prepare hearts to hear and enable them to respond to the gospel as it is being presented. But that is exciting to see that vision demonstrated amongst our churches there in Japan, as they would see, not satisfy themselves with their number presently, but see the great field that God has given them to tend in the nation of Japan. In South Sudan, there are a number of opportunities and thanksgivings that we have to make for that work. First, we are thankful that Jan Buchanan and the Ferris family were able to arrive back on the field this past week. It was wonderful to have them back in the States for a time. And while we weren't able to have them here before you for part of their deputation routine, we did bring in, and I've given a copy to the elders here, a copy of the DVD of their presentation in Broomall for those that would like to familiarize themselves with the latest reports, especially on the diaconal side of the ministry that Daniel is overseeing there in South Sudan. Many of you know that Natalie will be expecting in July, so continue to uphold Natalie Ferris as she's entering into the last term of that pregnancy. Pray that everything would continue to go smoothly with them and with that pregnancy, and that God would usher forth this newest little boy in good health in July. Also, I know many of you know well Luke Finley. Luke has been over laboring in South Sudan since November. Luke is scheduled to come home in early May, and I just wanted to relay to you who have invested so much in him that the missionaries there have been very, very pleased with the labors and the ministry that he has been doing among them. And it would certainly be their desire to see him come back and labor long term. So pray for wisdom for the board, and pray especially for wisdom for Luke if a call would be forthcoming, to know if that might be a place that God would be calling him long term. But it is exciting to see his gifts being utilized well there. I know he has been a great blessing to Vince Ward. Many of you who've ever worked with visionaries know that visionaries often need somebody that can come alongside them and help them move from a very high gear to a little bit more deliberate and slower gear sometimes to think about things. And Luke's questions, I think, have been a real blessing to Vince in helping him to not run too far ahead and to think about the vision that he is always endeavoring to craft and refine. So I think they have proven to work very well together, and I know that Luke was also a great encouragement to the rest of the team. Christopher Christ, over the last couple of years, has begun to utilize more and more short-termers in their midst. And so that continues, and they have been very blessed through the use of short-termers. Now, these aren't short-termers necessarily in the sense of some of our summer projects that might be 2 to 6 weeks in length. These short-termers are there from 6 months to 2 years. And so they have, for the last couple of years, enjoyed the presence of James Brinkerhoff. He's a graduate of Grove City, and he is the nephew of Scott Brinkerhoff, who's been a part of the team for a number of years. James has a degree in communication and engineering, and he has been utilizing his expertise to oversee the radio ministry. And that has been a real blessing. It looks like he probably will bring his time of service to an end at the end of December. So that certainly would garner and be deserving of our prayers, that the Lord would either prepare the South Sudanese men that are carrying out the radio ministry to have all of the necessary gifts and talents that they need and equipment in order to take on those duties after James would leave, or that God would provide someone else to aid them in that continued ministry. Then a few years ago, we had the blessing of having Lori Filson from the Second Indianapolis congregation go and serve in South Sudan. And she and Beth Magnuson spent several months there and were a great help to the missionaries, especially to the missionary moms and caring for the children, helping with their education. Well, this time the Cush for Christ group has extended an invitation to Lori to return, this time to help with the newly developed Christian school. Last year they had about 30 to 35 kids, South Sudanese kids, that were involved in that school. This year, as they're just beginning their second year, they have, I believe, over 70 that are involved in the school. That puts a great deal of strain on our current staff to oversee that. And they're going to utilize Lori to help with some of the English training, especially. So English is one of the most desired languages in South Sudan. It is the official language of South Sudan. And so it is an area that Lori can add her expertise and be a great asset to the team. Pray for her as she serves there. I know they're already very thrilled to have a newcomer on the team again and to always glean new information from home from her. She is going to soon be joined by another Brinkerhoff, Kathleen Brinkerhoff. This would be a sister to James, is planning to go over in about a month. And she will spend the next year there helping Lori in the school and laboring with our missionaries there. So we're thankful for those short-termers, and I think that that is another area that we will continue to see developments. And so if there are individuals, couples, others who have would like to be considered for things like that, do let me know, let Vince Ward know, and as needs arise, we'll be sure to be in contact with you. Many of you heard recently or got the email that we sent out about some of the interpersonal challenges that arise on the field, and that is another area that the Cush for Christ team would appreciate your prayers. There are natural growing pains in missions, in cross-cultural ministry, and this is one of those where we're seeing some challenges arise amongst those who have been trained to understand the philosophy of the mission, and to realize that some of the typical ways of doing missions in Africa have not necessarily always garnered the best results and have resulted in matters of dependency and other issues over the last century and a half or two. Well, in the case of one of the individuals, we were dealing with a pastor of one of the mission churches who just felt he was deserving of a salary, and wasn't pleased with how things were being run, and initially threatened to up and leave and take the two congregations that he was seeing with him. But as the Lord has continued to work in his heart, and I think through the rest of the elders and pastors that have been laboring on behalf of the presbytery to remedy these relationships, we're not seeing him make more active strides toward carrying out that threat. Instead, he is maybe just going to leave himself, but the congregations aren't going to leave, and then he's more recently just kind of been sitting on the fence. So pray that God would heal these relationships. We've dealt with this before. And a number of years ago, there were nine or so men that were being trained for the pastorate, and at one point they came up and made their demands for salaries, and they threatened and they left. And God worked on a number of their hearts, and three of those men came back, repented of their sin, laid a hand again to the plow, and have proven to be very, very faithful pastors. And we pray that the Lord would work in that same way with this man as well. Another one of the hardships that they face as they go about the process of training teachers for the school, South Sudanese teachers, is though we may train them very, very well, they can make a lot more money elsewhere, and they feel the burden of the need to provide for their families. There's a great deal of outside pressure that's put on them by their extended family that they would provide monetary assistance to their extended families. And so there's a great deal of pressure that comes on those that have been trained to look elsewhere. And we have had some that have been being trained leave, but others have caught the vision and have stayed on. Pray that that would continue. The last time Vince was here, he made a statement that what they're finding is about a third of those that they invest in to disciple and train and mentor prove to have a lasting interest in the vision. And that's probably not unlike what we find here at home. You know, that it's probably almost a similar percentage of those that we invest in, those that we would seek to cultivate for leadership, that will lay hold of that vision and really stick with the ministry. So pray for the encouragement of Vince, as any time you would see that kind of a division arise, it's easy to take that personally. Pray that he would not be downtrodden by that, but that he would be encouraged by those who are showing a lasting commitment to the work. Then continue to pray for the many men that are presently in their second series or third set within the pastoral training curriculum. There are a number of churches that are yet without pastors that have been established. One of the things that you'll find up front afterward, if you're interested in it, is just a little map with dots in relationship to the radio station and a wheel, the city nearest to our mission, so that you can see where the existing congregations are in proximity, where the mission churches are located, and where the outlying fellowships are being established. It also will show a circle, and that circle is to demonstrate the radius of the radio station, to give you kind of a perspective of how far they're able to reach with the gospel of Christ via that radio station. And within that radius, within that circle, are over 1.5 million people. And there are only 2 radio stations around. And they are giving out radios through other agencies that are donating radios, solar-powered radios, to them so that more and more people are able to access the proclamation of God's Word. It's an exciting thing to see people familiarizing themselves with the Word. And, of course, with access to it are coming many, many invitations for more studies and more churches to be established. So wisdom is needed for the missionaries there. Well, those are some of the existing fields. We're also moving into a period in the life of the Global Mission Board now that the Lord seems to be putting new possible fields before us. So in the coming months, we are going to be receiving proposals from a number of different churches and presbyteries related to new connections, new visionaries that God has raised up with a particular interest to see RPCNA churches established around the world. So the first proposal has come to us from the Second Indianapolis RP congregation in relation to a work in Bangalore, India. And it looks that this fall we will have one family, a man and his wife from Bangalore that have recently been taken under the care of the Great Lakes Gulf Presbytery that will be beginning their study at RPTS. And it is believed he will be one of the lead pastors in this effort if it would go forward. Also, Elder Ram Rao from the Second Indianapolis congregation is nearing retirement, and his intent after retirement is to move he and his family back to Bangalore and to be part of this missionary endeavor. So pray for the Second Indianapolis RP Church as they would seek to give oversight to the Great Lakes Gulf Presbytery as they would work with this young man. There are established contacts we already have on site, established churches that are eager to be a part of this. And so this is a place that could develop rather quickly. And it's also another area that may in the future be a place that Audrey Joseph may also be able to labor. She's presently laboring with MTW. The Shawnee congregation has had for a number of years a man in its congregation from Pakistan. This man has just completed his PhD in South Korea and has had on his heart a translation ministry and a training ministry for Pakistan for a number of years. He is actively engaged in translating a number of Reformed works into the Urdu language and has made and makes regular trips to Pakistan where he is leading seminars and training sessions for pastors. This is another exciting development. It may have more in common with efforts like RTF, but it is always exciting when we see, you know, the gifted people that God is raising up to see His name go forth around the world. We need these kinds of works translated, and to see such a gifted man raised up and now part of one of our congregations in the Midwest is quite exciting. The board will be meeting with this gentleman from India and this gentleman from Pakistan, as well as their pastors, this fall. Then recently, a young man from Mexico City has come under the care and oversight of the Pacific Coast Presbytery. His name is Alejandro Moreno Morrison. He is an almost graduate of RTS Seminary. I say that he undertook two master's degrees from RTS back when Rick Gamble was there in Orlando. In fact, he served as a pastoral intern for Rick while Rick was there working in a church plant in Orlando. He is interested in seeing a church planted on the west side of Mexico City, and that has been something that our synod has expressed an interest in for a number of years, that we would see works developing south of our border. And so pray for wisdom for the Pacific Coast Presbytery as they would undertake this possible endeavor in Mexico City and what part the RP Global Board may play in that. Then we have two men presently studying at our seminary that also are men under care of the Pacific Presbytery, one from South Korea, Namsik, and one from Singapore. So both of these men also have a real interest in seeing RP churches established in those nations as well. So those are men that I think we'll be meeting with in the coming months and year as well. Be praying for the board as we would begin to think about how to undertake something like this. It is difficult to always have the confidence that more could be undertaken, and it may result in an expansion to the board being required to have adequate personnel to do the kind of exploration and evaluation of these fields that will be required. But it's also very exciting to see the way churches and presbyteries are taking such an active role in helping to investigate these new fields in advance of their even being put before the board. That is a great aid to board members to know that there are pastors and elders and presbyteries, congregations that know the personnel and can testify to their giftedness and their vision. Just a short little update on the short-term missions, which kind of makes out the other leg of the stool for RP Global. We've been thankful since 2009 to see interest in the short-term missions continue to grow again. 2008, we took a pretty good hit with the economy turning, but also with the need to really focus our attention on the long-term mission efforts of RP Global missions. We're about 80% filled for the summer so far. We're thankful to have a number of students from Geneva and across the denomination signed up, as well as the opportunities God affords us to see folks from outside of this denomination participate with us and to have the opportunity to form a relationship with us. There are opportunities that still exist in Melbourne, Australia, and Nantes, France, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Seattle, Washington, Cincinnati, Ohio, and White Lake. So if you know of anyone that would be interested, and these aren't limited only to young people, if there are some retirees here that would like to add their gifts to these teams, we'd love to have you. If there are professionals that would like to use some of their summer time off, we'd love to have you. And the saints are greatly encouraged to see your interest in the work of the gospel in their part of the kingdom of Christ. And lastly, we continue to be encouraged as we see growing interest in longer short-term mission opportunities. So we presently have Emily Peel serving in her second or 2.5 years now in Uganda. It looks like her time there will continue to be extended, and we're thankful for her opportunity to serve there. So pray that as more opportunities for longer-term folks arise, like those in South Sudan, Uganda, Costa Rica, that God will raise up the needed personnel to fill those opportunities. So that's the latest from RP Global. Thank you again. And if you have questions afterward, please come down and see me and grab some materials.